by meeting in a gloomy, rainy day. But today we're going to talk about something that I myself have not really started exploring until just recently. We're going to be talking about exile. And it's kind of interesting because we just finished our series on the Kingdom of Heaven. And hopefully that series gave you some great hope and expectation. You heard about just how the Kingdom of Heaven is constantly growing and can't be stopped. That there's an amazing future in store for believers. But yet today we're going to look at the reality that is also described in the Bible, the exile, and what that means for us. So if you have your Bibles, I encourage you to open them up to Jeremiah chapter 25. We'll be reading from verses 1 to 11 this morning. Jeremiah chapter 25, verse 1. The word came to Jeremiah concerning all the people of Judah in the fourth year of Jehoiakim, son of Josiah, king of Judah, which was the first year of Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon. So Jeremiah the prophet said to all the people of Judah and to all those living in Jerusalem, for 23 years, in the 13th year of Josiah, son of Amon, king of Judah, until this very day, the word of the Lord has come to me, and I have spoken to you again and again, but you have not listened. And though the Lord has sent all his servants, the prophets, to you again and again, you have not listened or paid any attention. They said, turn now, each of you, from your evil ways and your evil practices, and you can stay in the land the Lord gave to you and your ancestors forever and ever. Do not follow other gods to serve and worship them. Do not arouse my anger with what your hands have made. Then I will not harm you. But you did not listen to me, declares the Lord. And you have aroused my anger with what your hands have made, and you have brought harm to yourselves. Therefore, the Lord Almighty says this, because you have not listened to my words, I will summon all the peoples to the north and my servants, Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, declares the Lord. And I will bring them against its land and its inhabitants, and against all the surrounding nations. I will completely destroy them, and make them an object of horror and scorn, and an everlasting ruin. I will banish from them the sound of joy and gladness, the voice of the bride and bridegroom, the sound of millstones and the light of the lamp. This whole country will become a desolate wasteland. And these nations will serve the king of Babylon 70 years. Now that's a heavy passage. If you look with me to verses 10 and 11. I will banish from them the sounds of joy and gladness. How many of you like to laugh? How many of you like to have a good time and enjoy jokes, enjoy fun? I will banish from the voices of bride and bridegroom. This is a wedding. Ruby and I will actually go to a wedding next month, celebrate one of my friends getting married. And weddings are a joyous celebration. It's an event where love is expressed, where faithful commitments are made to one another. And here the Lord says, that would be no more. The sound of millstones. If you're not familiar, millstones are what the ancient people used to grind up the wheat into grains. That's how they separated it. But there will be no more sound of the millstones because there's not going to be any kind of harvest. The light of the lamp. Even light will disappear. This is a description that the Lord gives of exile. Now, obviously, you and I have never experienced anything like that. There hasn't been some superpower that's come to Canada, that's come to Mississauga, destroyed everything we've known, and dragged off an entire population to a foreign land. So how does reading about this exile, how does reading about this apply to us? Well, there's actually two types of exile. There's a universal exile that affects all of humanity. And then there are specific, more localized types of exiles, which are actually a result of the first. So the universal exile, let me describe that to you. Think back with me to Genesis chapters 1 and 2. You guys know what happens in Genesis chapters 1 and 2, right? That's when God creates the heavens and the earth. Now, after each day of creation, God declares that day good. That's his blessing over creation. He says, it's good. Now, in terms of how long that lasted, we're not sure. But here's what we do know. Genesis chapter 22 talks about creation. It talks about how things were good. We get to chapter 3, and you guys know what happens there. Things spiral out of control. Fun fact, the way that the Bible is now divided in modern times with chapters and verses, there's 1,189 chapters in the Bible. I googled that, I didn't imagine counting. 1,189 chapters in the Bible. Two of them describe how things were perfect. If you do the math, that means there's 1,187 chapters, 99% of the Bible, that describes how things are not perfect. Isn't that interesting? From Genesis chapter 3, all the way to the end of the Bible, from Revelation, we see a theme of exile. How people have been removed from a home and they're making a long, long journey. You see, the universal exile is not just about a place. Yes, there is a place. For example, in the beginning, Adam and Eve, they were living in the Garden of Eden. It was a paradise for them. But it wasn't God's plan for them to stay there the whole time either. You see, the garden, it had its boundaries. But if you remember, God commands Adam and Eve to be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth. God's plan wasn't just for Adam and Eve to stay in the garden and fill the garden, but his plan was for them to fill the earth. So it's not, the exile is not just about being thrown out of Eden. So what is the universal exile? Well, I mentioned the idea of home. And home is also not limited to a place. When you think of home, it certainly does include a place. It probably includes a house, a room, several rooms. But there's so much more to a home than that. When we think of home, we think of people, we think of relationships, we think security, peace, comfort, all those things. Now in the garden, when Adam and Eve were with God, they had all of that and more, and they had it perfectly. If they had only obeyed God, they would have turned the whole earth into a home, a place where all could have experienced God the way that they did. They could have had this perfect fellowship with God. But as we know, Adam and Eve, they failed. And when they were thrown out of the garden, their relationship with God, their relationship with one another, their relationship with all creation was broken. That security, that peace, that comfort that they had, it became temporary. It became things that just don't last. They lost what it means to be in perfect relationship with God, to be in the fullness of His presence. This is the universe of exile that you and I experience. See, exile is the complete opposite of what a home means. You see, at home, you're safe, you're happy, you're comfortable, you're loved. In exile, you're nothing. And you and I, we were born into universal exile. We are born as sinners, we grow up, and we make the same choice that Adam and Eve did. The choice of, I decide what I want. And without the work of God, without the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, without the regeneration provided by the Holy Spirit, we will continue to live in that type of exile. In our experience of the universal exile, I'm sure we've encountered the second type of exile, these more specific, localized types. Have you ever felt like you didn't belong somewhere? Perhaps for some of you who have just started high school, that was your experience. When you got into high school, you felt out of place. You felt like you didn't belong. You just came from being an eighth grader, from being at the top of middle school, and now you're all the way at the bottom. You knew everything about your school, and now you know nothing. You had a lot of friends, and now you have maybe just a handful. You have a new schedule, new teachers. You're in a completely new environment. And that can be hard. But for some of you, you might feel like you're living out an exile kind of life at work. Maybe there are few or even none of your colleagues that are Christians. And everyone else holds a different view and different values than you do. When I was a missionary in China many years ago, I felt like an exile. I didn't speak the language. I looked like everyone else until they expected me to speak, but I didn't. I felt judged all the time. And the reason I was there didn't make it any easier. I was there to share the gospel. And as you know, the government is extremely against that. Most, if not all of us, have experienced these kinds of exile. In the passage that we looked at here today, in Jeremiah 25, Jeremiah is talking to the Israelites, and he's talking about a specific exile. The exile of Babylon. But if you read closely, if you were following along closely, you'll realize that they're not actually in Babylon yet. When Jeremiah is speaking to them, they are still in their land of Judah. They're still home. Now, this is extremely applicable to us as a church. Because what Jeremiah is doing here is he is issuing them a warning. Jeremiah is speaking to the Israelites who have known God. And in verse 3, he said, I've been speaking to you the word of the Lord for 23 years. He said, I've spoken to you time and time again, but you have not listened. It's important, this phrase, the word of the Lord, because it shows us that Jeremiah is not someone who is just pushing his own agenda. He's not someone that's saying, I'm right, you need to do what I say. But no, he's delivering the message of God. And the message of God is found in verses 5 to 6, if you would look with me there. God says, turn now, each of you, from your evil ways and your evil practices, and you can stay in the land the Lord gave to you and your fathers forever and ever. Do not follow other gods to serve and worship them. Do not provoke me to anger with what your hands have made. Then I will not harm you. You see, the Israelites, they were caught up in idol worship. They were worshiping and serving other gods. And God's saying, stop. Turn away from them. And this is the message that Jeremiah and other prophets have consistently been bringing to the Israelites. And that's a message for us, the church, today. We may not worship the wooden and stone statues that the Israelites did back then, but you and I know full well that we have our own idols. There are things in our lives that we give way more attention to than God. In verse 3, Jeremiah mentions this king. His name is Josiah. If you're familiar with the period of the kings, you'll know that there were kings that were faithful to God, there were kings that were unfaithful to God. Josiah is a king who was faithful to God. He followed after God, and he actually led the people to follow God. He dies, and then his son, Jehoiakim, who is now the reigning king, as Jeremiah said in this message, Jehoiakim, he is an unfaithful king. He is not following God, and in fact, he's encouraging people to worship idols. But what's interesting is Jeremiah says, I've been giving you this message for 23 years. Starting back when Josiah was king, all the way till now when Jehoiakim is king. So it's the same message when there's a faithful king reigning or when there's an unfaithful king reigning. Now this is a very subtle but valuable point. So all of us who are in positions of authority or in leadership, and that includes the parents out there, maybe our Sunday school teachers, the church elders, anybody who's in leadership, this is a message for you. We have influence over those that we take care of, over those that are under us. We have influence. You see, when the king, the leader of the Israelites, sought after God, when the king wanted to worship God, the people followed, and they did as well. But when the king pursued idols, the people also did that. And so for those of us in positions of authority, the way that we live, we are actually either leading people towards God, or we are leading them towards exile. You see, if we're always spending our money on the latest piece of technology, or on the latest fashion item, we're modeling to those younger than us that this is what matters. Or if our children see us spending countless hours sitting in front of a TV or a computer or on our phones, they'll start to do the same. Or if they see that we're always yelling or judging those around us, that's what they'll start to do. But if we're prioritizing our lives as followers of Christ, if we are making prayer and reading the Bible cornerstone of our life, they'll also catch on to that. I know some of you may doubt that. You may think it's really hard to get your child involved in spiritual disciplines. But let me give you a note of encouragement. Something that I've been doing with the youth kids is I've been praying with them as a group. You know, most of the time we'll end youth group or we'll end the youth Sunday school by going around the room and everybody prays. I started this maybe a few months ago. And when I first suggested it, you should have heard their reaction. No! What? I don't want to do that. Do I have But I made sure that it was something that was consistent, it was something that was prioritized. And they participated. And now as the weeks, the months have gone by, they know it's coming, and they're ready for it. Sometimes they even have prayer requests written down on their phones. They're growing in the area of prayer. They're thinking about what they can be praying about. And so as leaders, we have this amazing power and responsibility to lead those well that are under us. But the young people out there, you are not the hook. You know, it's not all the leaders here. Because as I mentioned, God's delivering the same message to his prophets. It's the same message of turn away from your idols when there's a faithful king and when there's an unfaithful king. And the reason why he has to deliver the same message when there's a faithful king is because there are people that are making a choice not to follow. There are people that make the choice that even though the king is worshiping God, they are going to continue to worship idols. So young people, you also have a choice. You can see your parents reading the Bible. You can see your parents praying. Your Sunday school teacher can be praying and teaching you about the Bible. But ultimately, it's your choice whether you're going to follow their example or not. Because you and I know that there are so many other examples that you can follow. And I mean that literally, because now on social media, things like Instagram and Twitter, it's all about following. You can follow all of the celebrities, you can follow the politicians, the athletes. And I'm not saying it's a bad thing if you do. But I don't want you to be oblivious to the fact that if you are following all of these people on social media, they are also exerting influence on you. If you follow them enough, if you're spending enough time seeing what Taylor Swift says, or what LeBron James says, or what Donald Trump says, you might start to think like them. You might start to talk like them. You start caring about the things they care about. I mean, how do you think Israel got involved in idol worship anyway? It's exactly because they saw what other nations were doing and they decided, oh, I'm going to do that. I'm going to give that a try. So take God's message seriously. Listen to what God is saying. Yes, we live in this universal exile. We're not going to be able to escape the imperfections of this world, the sufferings of this world, just yet. That's something that we're going to have to live through. But there are specific exiles that we do not have to rush into. God says to turn from your evil ways. You know, turning is this, it's this wonderful image of turning around 180 degrees. So you were walking towards evil ways, you were spending, you know, way too much time on the computer, you were spending way too much money on material things. And God says, turn from that. Stop going down that path. You know, true repentance, I've heard it described as making a 180-degree turn. So it's not just about the actions, not that, just don't lie anymore, but turn away from lies. Don't think about lying. Or when you see other people around you that may be cutting corners, and may be cheating, and may be stealing, don't look at them and say, huh, maybe I should get better. No, turn away from those examples. You know, if your phone, your computer, if that's your source of idolatry, if you're spending way too much time on those things, stop sitting in front of your computer. Put the phone down. Now, I know it can be difficult. I know it can be difficult to turn away from something, especially if you're not replacing it with something else. Right? You can put your phone down, but then you're like sitting there and you have nothing else to do. So then you just like, oh, I'm going to pick up my phone again. I get that. God gets that too. So that's why in his command, he doesn't just tell them, turn away from your evil ways, but he gives them something else to focus on. He says, turn away from your evil practices, and you can stay in the land the Lord gave to you and your ancestors forever and ever. You see, for the Israelites, the land, that's a reminder of the promise that God gave them. This is a land that's flowing with milk and honey. This is a land that used to be inhabited by people that were giants, that had bigger, stronger armies than they did, but all of whom the Lord destroyed so that the Israelites can move on. See, God gives us his command and his expectation to turn away from sin. And he says, look at me. Focus on me. Focus on the things that I have blessed you with. I don't know how many of you have ever opened up the Bible, opened up the Word of God, read it, and said, wow, God just spoke to me. So don't just turn away and fill your mind with nothingness. But turn away and fill your mind with the blessing of the Lord. Lastly, we look at verses 8 through 11. Starting from verse 7. God says, but you did not listen to me. You have provoked me with what your hands have made, and you have brought harm to yourselves. This is a warning. And God says that if you do not turn from your evil ways, if you do not get rid of those idols in your life, you're going to make me angry. It's like, I don't want to be angry, but if you don't listen to me, I am going to become angry. You see, while God does desire the best for us, don't for a second think he is against hurting and disciplining us. The Israelites, when they were sent to Babylon, they suffered. It was not an easy time. And that's because they didn't listen. They didn't turn. The discipline will come from God. You know, I mentioned there are exiles that we can escape. Regardless of whether you've been coming to church for 23 years, or if you're new, God's message is for you. That we are in a similar situation today. God warned Israel that exile was a very real possibility in that term. And he is warning you and me, exile is a very real possibility for you and I. And it is one far worse than what Israel went through in Babylon. We read in verse 11 that Israel was exiled in Babylon for 70 years. 70 years may seem bearable. People live that long. People live even longer than that. So you can outlive the Babylonian exile if you're young enough. But the exile that you and I face, it's not 70 years. It's not 100 years. It's not 700 years. But if you and I make the choice to not turn away from idols, but to continue worshiping idols, continue seeking other things other than God, we face an eternal exile. An exile to hell. To an eternity away from the presence of God. And there is no hope of return from that. I want you to let that sink in. What could be worse? An eternal exile. An eternity of suffering. For what? Let's say you made a few extra $1 million because you worked every Sunday of your life. Let's say you got the million YouTube views because you spent all your days making videos. And then the exiles that we experience now, it's nothing compared to what will come. The good news is we can have a choice. We can listen to what God says right now. And he promises, if we listen to him, if we turn away from idols, we no longer engage in those practices, he says, I will not harm you. It doesn't matter that we were doing it before, we recognize that we can make mistakes. But he says, stop. You've heard it, stop. Eventually, his patience will run out. The time will come when he exercises judgment. It'll be too late by then. But if you listen to what God says, no harm will come to you. And he'll restore you into his presence. But we need to make that choice now. To turn away from the evil ways and turn towards God. Again, it doesn't matter how many times you hear this message. Lord, we confess that we are hard-hearted people. We are so stubborn. We think that we can get away with it. We think that we can work around this command. We think that we can push it 49% doing whatever we want, as long as you just give me that 59%. As long as you just give me a little bit more, you're okay with that. The Lord, you are a God who will tolerate no competition. Especially from false. Father, I pray that as we hear this message, that we do not be stubborn and hard-hearted. Pray that we do not think that we have all the time in the world to change. We don't know. The Israelites thought that they were safe. We thought that we were safe in the battle of the Romans. And Father, we may think that we are safe from the eternal fires of hell. But unless we are following you, unless we have turned completely to you with all of our hearts, minds, soul, and strength, there is no such. And so, Father, Lord, please reveal to us the ways in which the evil one may be blinding us, may be tricking us. Will we not fall prey to his traps? But just as you warn again and again, we do count on your grace and your forgiveness. Again, Father, help us.
to you and Jesus. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Merci.